So it's a moment to think about the future of politics in America, not because of some primary races or because of the fortunes of Barack Obama in the polls, because on Thursday, the Personal Democracy Forum starts here in New York. Leaders in American politics will converge with the people who make their trade on the internet, particularly in social networking sites, to hash out the opportunities and to see what the new political tools are as we look ahead in this century. Mindy Finn joins us, a conservative strategist and partner at Engage, a new media consulting firm. She's on the line from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Mindy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Jane Hampshire, founder and publisher of FiredogLake.com, a leading progressive blog, also joins us from the nation's capital. Jane, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Now, both of you represent different colors in the ideological spectrum, I think it's fair to say. But I'm wondering if this is a moment to think of the internet not so much as something that aids one type of ideology, conservative or liberal, but something that is actually an alternative to the two-party system itself. Mindy Finn?
I think there's certainly potential for that. I mean, we've seen over the last decade that in both parties there's somewhat been a splintering on the right. You know, we've seen the Tea Party recently on the left. There's certainly the progressive movement where individuals who now have an equal voice on the internet are looking to overpower the establishment, have the opportunity to overpower establishment institutions.
And does that explain the success that you had working on the Scott Brown campaign in Massachusetts, Mindy Finn?
It certainly does. You know, in that case, obviously, it was a Democrat versus Republican battle. But if you looked at the nature of the two campaigns, there was a very stark contrast between one that was top-down, establishment-driven, in fact, kind of arrogant, didn't think it needed to listen to the grassroots, it didn't need to involve individuals, and the Scott Brown campaign, which was exactly the opposite.
Jane Hampshire, would you say that there's an equal and opposite sort of view ideologically among progressives, that the internet is an opportunity to confront the establishment?
Well, I think that ideally it would be. During the Bush years, we saw the progressive movement grow in opposition to the Republicans in power. And that sort of represents the most optimal moment for growth of grassroots movement. And you're seeing the same thing on the right now, that the Democrats are in power. And I think that, the Brown campaign definitely took advantage of that. But the party's ability to dominate the online conversation by sort of flooding the channels with operatives, is also a risk. And I think that we're seeing a lot of that happening, too.
Jane, one of the themes of this conference on Thursday is, can the internet save democracy? But I'm wondering, as long as voting takes place offline in an experience that is completely different from online, can the internet really do anything significant to help democracy? Because the number of people who vote is very, very different from the number of people who are online. Jane?
Well, I think that the ability to sort of spread message and connect, people peer-to-peer outside of media channels that are more easily dominated by a party infrastructure, definitely gives it an inherently populist character. And we are seeing right now on the right, particularly with the unseating of Arlen Specter, with the rise of Marco Rubio, the unseating of Bob Bennett, that the sort of grassroots movement on the right is having a tremendous impact on the party structure, independent of the voting dynamics that you're talking about.
Mindy Finn, there is something perilous about the internet as well, though, because we all know that the truism is that you can't really trust what you read on the internet, that when you open it up to the populace, you're going to get things, reports that are unconfirmed, that are often sometimes inaccurate, and at the same time that you're trying to get a constructive message across, there's going to be an equal number, if not more, destructive and maybe false messages going as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think of the internet as sort of the epitome of a crisis. It's danger plus opportunity. You learn in Crisis 101 that you have both danger and opportunity, and that's certainly true online. The danger is, and many people are concerned, that as opposed to leading to civil debate, a more civil democracy, a more productive, common sense democracy where we're able to accomplish more because we have the collective whole participating, that instead individuals are just parsing out what they don't believe, what they don't want to hear, and just following people who share their opinions already, rather than opening their minds to new opinions. And that happens on both sides. There is a great concern about that.
Does that suggest, though, that this is a transitional moment and that civil discourse involving broad groups of people, not simply saboteurs throwing grenades, will come when the Internet is more involved in actual governing as opposed to simply campaigning, Mindy Finn?
That's certainly what many of us hope for. That's why there was a big, you know, government 2.0 movement, a movement for open government, with the idea that if government is more open and transparent, that more individuals will feel compelled, will feel empowered to participate, to get the information that they need, to know what's going on in government, and they'll challenge the status quo. They'll challenge what's wrong with government, and collectively we'll be able to make it better. I think it remains to be seen. I don't know how Jane feels, but I think many of us felt that, you know, a few years ago we would be at an even more positive place now than we currently are.
Well, Jane, let's get a response. I mean, there is the possibility that the whole Internet potential will turn out like Ross Perot a little bit, don't you think?
Well, I think that the biggest problem, you know, with the Internet at the moment, Internet politics anyway, is the tribalism that goes on. But I actually think that is not a function of the populism of the Internet, but rather the party domination of a lot of the discourse that happens on the Internet. Thomas Frank wrote in What's the Matter with Kansas, you know, how do you get people to vote against issues that are in their economic interest, and it's frankly by sort of outright appeals to tribal identity, and we see a lot of that. We see the Democrats just as much saying, you know, you have to support this policy even if you don't like it, because otherwise Sarah Palin will become president. You see the right, you know, we saw the right doing a lot of the you have to support the war because if you don't, you know, you hate the troops, and those are ways that parties govern
indeed.
Appeal to their base to support unpopular programs.
Both of our guests will be at the Personal Democracy Forum, which starts on Thursday. Jane Hampshire, founder and publisher of FireDogLake.com, and Mindy Finn, conservative strategist and partner at Engage. Thanks so much.